We begin the current daven, Sechtes Menachas daven Nun Gimel. We begin on the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the Gemara discussion on the Mishnah that opened up our parak of Kol HaMenachas Bo'ez Matzah, which said that all flour offerings that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash are unleavened, except for two exceptions, that of the chametz that comes in the Lachmei Taida, which are 10 out of the 40, and the Shtei Alechem, the two breads that are brought on Shavuos. Now, regarding to that halacha, Bo'yimenei Repreidem Rebami. Repreida asked from Rebami, Minayin L'chol HaMenachas Shein Bo'ez Matzah. From where do we know the source for this halacha that all flour offerings are brought unleavened? So on that asked the Gemara, Menalon, what do we know from? What do you mean? Dechsivba, those flour offerings which it say explicitly in the Torah that they're matzah, for example, the mincha mafa, which the baked mincha, the michas machavas, which is made in this shallow frying pan. Ksivba, it says explicitly that it's supposed to be matzah. The like sivba, and even those that don't say explicitly that they have to be matzah, ksivba, but still it says in one pasuk that includes all other flour offerings in the parashat Tzav, as the pasuk says in the top of the Gimel and Aleph, it says Zayis Teres HaMincha. This is the law of the flour offering. Hakrev Oisav Bnei Aaron Lifnei Hashem Al Pnei Mizbeach. Let the sons of Aaron sacrifice in front of Hashem to the face of the altar. And it says Vaneseres Mimeno Yoichel Aaron Avonim. And the leftovers Aaron and his son should eat matzos Teyachel. It should be eaten as matzos. So it says clearly that it has to be matzos. So Malay says, or prayed this at him, he says, no. Mitzel lekumi bayli. I didn't have a question. I knew that initially the menachas, the flour offerings, should be brought matzah. Kikumi bayli la'akim. My question was, how do we know that it's ma'akim, that it's integral, that it will withhold the validity if it's not going to be matzah? So Malay says, said to him, la'akim namiksib. What do you mean? The fact that it's integral is also written right after that, where the pasuk says, lo siyafa chametz. Now let it bake it leavened, which ela matzah. Rather, the inference is obviously means that it has to be matzah, so they have clearly showing that it's forbidden and it's not allowed at all to be chametz. Now, maskvel Rav Chisda, however, Rav Chisda asked on the response of Rabbami, he says, wait a second, how do you know that's the inferential translation of the pasuk? Ve'eman say, lo yisayafu chametz, don't bake the menachas chametz, leavened, ela seer, but rather seer, which is known as chametz nuksha, which is this halfway type of chametz. Maybe that's what's excluding. Yeah, don't make it bona fide, full-fledged leaven, but maybe make it in this half-baked type of chametz that actually is permitted. Who says it has to be matzah, which is totally unleavened? On that is the Gemara, Seir Deman. So just to clarify Rav Chisda's question, who's Seir? Because actually Machlik is in Masecht Pesachim, Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, exactly how do we define Seir? And also actually Machlik is regarding regarding its definition halacha, if we consider it as chametz or not. So the Gemara explains, Idre Meir, if we're referring to Remeir's definition of seir, which as the Gemara there says in Perek Eloivrin, it means if the surface of the bread, the matzah, the baked dough, has gotten white. Where that's already, that if the dough is already white, that sounds like, it seems like it's turning already, becoming leavened, but it's not yet chametzik. Now, if you're going in Rebbe Meir's definition of Seir, L'Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, who, as we said, not only do they have a machlokes regarding what is Seir, they also have a machlokes regarding what's the halachic definition of Seir. Is that chametz? Is it not? So if we're going with Rebbe Meir's definition of Seir, according to Rebbe Yehuda, matzah ma'alagihi, he holds that actually it's totally matzah. So that obviously cannot be the case that you want to ask and say, well, how do you know it's, you're not allowed to do chametz, but you're allowed to do Seir? Well, seer is the same thing, according to Rabbi Huda, about Remeir's seer. So that would be exactly what we're saying up until now, that you would require matzah. Eid Rabbi Huda, if you go in Rabbi Huda's definition of seer, which is that when it starts cracking the dough, which is these antenna-like protrusions that are horns coming out of the grasshoppers, and you want to say that it would be going to Remeir, according to Remeir, that you want to say, okay, maybe you're allowed to bake the menachas as seer, but the problem with that is chametz ma'alihu. Remeir holds that Seir is actually bona fide chametz. So therefore, that cannot be what you're saying, oh, don't do chametz, but do Seir. That definition of Seir, according to Remeir, is actually chametz. And either Remeir, and if you're going with Remeir Seir, which is hechsifu panav, the surface of the dough started getting white, and you're going Remeir, according to Remeir, in his halachic definition of Seir, well then, mitalaki lef, and the fact that Remeir says you actually get lashes for eating that type of a seir on Pesach, chametz, so obviously it is chametz. So it's going to be chametz, and if it's chametz, obviously that's not what we're excluding from the pasuk. You're saying, oh, you can't do chametz, but you can do seir. This is also chametz. So El Rav explains the Gemara, it's Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda. We're going with Rabbi Yehuda's definition of a seir, which is karni chagavim, which are these like antler-like type of protrusions, these antennas from the grasshopper, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds that that's only rabbinically prohibited, that's actually not considered biblically chametz. That was Rav Chisda's question, is saying, well, that seir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe that is going to be the definition of saying that you don't need matzah, you can't have chametz. So what I mean, isn't there that there's something in between? There's this seir, which is neither chametz, neither matzah, and maybe that's what the Torah is saying, you're allowed to go ahead and make the menachas. Another question on Rabbami is maskabel Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Says, I could tell you a different definition. The emas say, loisaf chametz, don't bake them chametz, el chalad, rather make it scalded, which is also somewhere in the middle, in the sense of that it doesn't become chametz at all, but it's actually left the time that it could ferment, but since it was scalded, it was put in boiling water, it prevents it from becoming leavened bread. Maybe, but that's not neither matzah either, because it wasn't totally protected, it didn't have any of the time span of the fermentation process. Maybe that's what's being excluded. How do you know that it's telling us that it's ma'akib, that it has to be matzah? And that answers the Gemara, well, chalit ma'ini, what is chalit? It's revicha. It's the same thing as what we find by, let's say, by certain menachas, like the menachas chavitin, which is put in boiling water, as the Brisa says in Teres Kainim, as the Pasuk says, murbeches, by the chavitin, which teaches you have to boil it in the boiling water, and that's chalit, that's what scalded is. So therefore, says the Gemara, well, obviously then, to answer Rav Nachman Yitzchak's question, that cannot be what's being excluded in the pasuk, because if you're talking about a mincha, that the mitzvah, the Torah says, like the chavitin, is to make it rebucha, is to make it scalded, so it says explicitly that you should make it scalded, which means to say, why is it being scalded? So that it should not let it become chametz. And that therefore, that's already included in the pasuk. Vaha, or other types of menachas, well then like Seba Ravicha, doesn't say Ravucha Tefe'en that you should make it Ravucha. So from the fact that those menachas don't say you should do it like that, so obviously it's not supposed to be Ravucha. So then that cannot be what the Torah is saying, don't make Chametz but make it Ravucha, then it would have said it's Ravucha like it says by the other menachas. So, but the Gemara still asks, no, Ve'emes say as follows. The Seba Ravicha, the ones that says in the Torah like the Machavas that you should make it Ravicha scolded, so the mitzvah of Ravicha, they're the mitzvahs to do it like that. But I would tell you, not like the way you answered, the ones that it doesn't say that it has to be Ravicha, I would tell you, Ibai Ravicha Lai. So if you want to, that's what we're learning out from the pasuk. Loisiyaf a chametz. Don't make a chametz, but you can make a Ravucha if you want to. Ibai a matzah lai. If you want to, you make a matzah. So the fact that it doesn't say over here Ravucha and other places it does, that's only because there you have to. Here you could choose. How do you know that when it says for chametz means you can't make a chametz, we have to make a matzah? Maybe it means, but you can make it revucha, and not necessarily do you have to make a matzah. Another similar question, Maskabla Ravina, he asked on Rabbami, says, ve'ima lo yisayaf chametz, maybe say in the interpretation of the pasuk, don't bake it chametz. What does that mean? Lemekim gavra balav ba'almas, just saying that a person who makes a chametz gets a negative prohibition for having baked the chametz. But vifsuli lemivsla, but it's not going to become invalidated. Who says, like you're trying to say, oh, it's ma'akim. How do you say, oh, loisof a chametz. Don't make a chametz, but rather make a matzah. Okay, it's a negative prohibition. Don't. But if you did, maybe it would still be valid. How do you know it becomes invalidated? So Eli rather says the Gemara Samanolan. So where do we know, how do we answer a Prade's question if Rabami's answer is not sufficient? Says the Gemara, could it sound like Luna Braisa? Says in the pasuk to make the menachas matzah, so yochel mitzah, you would think it would just be a positive commandment. How do you know it's ma'akev? Tamalayim, it's a pasuk teaching ma'yikra, tia, it should be, hakas of kava chayva. The pasuk is establishing that it's an obligation that we always know tia is havaya, it has to be as is, if not, it's not going to be valid at all. Now, continuing on this theme, another question that Ba'imene repraid the Rabami. He says, Minayin l'chala menachas, how do we know regarding all flour offerings, sheniloishas bepeishin, that it's needed in lukewarm water, u'meshamon shleich mitzvah, that you have to safeguard it that it does not turn into leaven, that it doesn't become chametz stick. Now, what's being referred to over here is a Mishnah later on, daf nun hay mem aleph, that says all menachas have to be kneaded with lukewarm water, and because it's kneaded in lukewarm water, that's why the other part of the halacha is saying that you have to be careful to safeguard it that it does not ferment and turn into chametz, because as the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Mem Ches Mabez, what you have to do is, the way you protect it is by constantly using it and kneading it and being busy with the dough that does not allow it to ferment. That halacha says that you have to make sure that it doesn't ferment. So on that Esther Preda, how do you know this halacha? Nil Madenu Me Pesach? Do we learn it out from the halacha on Pesach? Tachsibu Shemartim as a matzah, says you have to safeguard the matzahs to make sure that it does not ferment. How do we know that there's such a halacha that there's a shmira, there's a halacha to safeguard to make sure that it doesn't turn into chametz? So Amalei, Rabbi Ami said to him, no, but gufik siv. We know from the pasuk itself over here by the Menachos where it says matzah tia, it should be matzah. What's matzah tia? It should be matzah. Hachayeha, make it alive, meaning to say, like a present future tense, prepare it, safeguard it, make sure it remains and becomes matzah. And the way you do that is by the shmirat, by being busy with it. So on that, Repreda asked him, but va'afik selak, have you already used this pasuk matzah tia, as in the previous Gemara's discussion, that says that tia is a lashon of ma'akiv, to say that it has to be matzah and it cannot be chametz, and it's ma'akiv that way. So if tia is because of the context of havaya, how are you using it to say, like the ches interchangeable with the hay, the hachayel, means to say you have to do a shmira to make sure, not just enough that it should be matzah, you actually have to do a shmira from the term tia, but you're already using the term tia for something else. Oh, that says the Gemara, because no, im kain, if that would be the case, lichtiv kro matzah hi, it should just say, it is matzah, and that also would have told us that it's ma'akiv, there has to be matzah, as the Gemara said in the beginning of the Masechet Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where chatas, he eats chatas, which should be slaughtered, shelo lishma, it's going to be pasul, because it has to be exactly as it is. So it should have just been matzah hi. My tia, why does he use the term of, instead of hi, tia? Shamat mina tarti, we learn that both halachas. One, the fact that it's a terminology of avaya, and also the fact that instead of saying he, it says tia, is like hachayeha, keep it alive, meaning make sure it becomes like that, but that's the halacha of a shmira. Now, continuing with a related discussion, because it's regarding Repreda, Amrlei Rabban le Repreda. The Rabbanan said to Repreda, Reb Ezra, who is Barbarei de Reb Avtulis, who's the grandson of Reb Avtulis, the who has Siru the Reb Elazar ben Azariah, who he's a 10th generation descendant of Reb Elazar ben Azariah, the who that Reb Elazar ben Azariah was a Siru la Ezra, 10th generation from Ezra Sefer, Koya Bava, he's by the entryway. So Amr Repreda said, my Kulehai, what's this whole big thing that you tell me, his whole lineage, his whole Yichus? I don't understand. Ibar Uryan, who, if he's a Tamachacham, he's a Ben Taira, so yoy, fine. Ibar Uryan, Ubarvan, and if he's a Tamachacham, and he's of great ancestry, so yoy, fine. But for Ibar Avon, Voloi Bar Urin, but if he only has ancestry, only has Yichus, and he's not a Ben Taira, so Isha Tuchle, let a fire consume him. Don't tell me his whole Yichus. I want to know, is he a Ben Taira? Is he a Talmudic scholar? Is he someone that's involved in Taira? So Amalei, they said to him, Bar Urin, yes, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's someone who's learned it. So Amalei said to them, okay, Leil Balesi, let him enter and come in. Now, Chazi reprayed the sober Ezra that he was pained, the Haba Akira Daita, that his mind was murky, he was tumultuous, maybe from this discussion that reprayed was saying, like, well, who is this, what's the big deal about this individual? So Pasach, so he opened up with Agadita, with homiletic teachings to make him feel comfortable. Vamran, he said, a Pasach in Tehillim. It says in the Pasach, Omart Lashem, you said to Hashem, Adonai Ata, you're my master, Tevasi balalecha, my thanks are not on you. What does this pasuk mean? So he said, Amr Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, Hechzik li taiva, you should give thanks to me, Shahidaticha, because I made you known, meaning I unified your name, Ba'ilam, in the world. So because of me, you're well known in the world, you should give us thanks. So Amalah, that's what the end of the pasuk says, that Hashem says to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people, Tevasi balalecha, my thanks are not on you. In other words, this is what the pasuk is saying. From this that you said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Ata, you're Hashem, because of me, Hashem is saying, no, ain't Tevasi alecha, I don't owe that thanks to you. Eini machzik taiva, I don't owe the thanks, El Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, only to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, which this could be the Nechama that he was telling to Reb Ezra, that you see there is something about ancestry. That they made me known first in the world. It wasn't you, it was the others. Shneimak says in the pasuk after that, it says, to the holy ones that are in the land, them and the mighty ones. Kol cheftzibam, Hashem says, all my desire is in them. Which these two pesukim are near each other. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying these pesukim. Now, Kivin the Shame, once Reb Ezra heard Repreda say the Kama that he was saying this pasuk, Kol adirei cheftzibam. So he remembered a homiletic teaching of Adir regarding this idea about the mighty one, which this pasuk comes into that. Pasuk va'amas, Reb Ezra opened up and he said the following line. It says, Yavei Adir, let the mighty one come, v'yifar la'adirim, and collect retribution because of the mighty ones, me'adirim, from the mighty ones, ba'adirim, with the mighty. What does this mean? So he explains, Yavei Adir, let the mighty one come, Zakodesh Bohu, refers to Hashem, So that, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Adabamarim, the mighty one in the heights, is Hashem. V'yifar l'adim, let it collect retribution because of the mighty ones, Eli Yisrael. This is to punish the enemies of the Jewish people. Shalom, like it says in the pasuk we quoted before, V'adirei kol chavtzibam, and my mighty ones, all my desire in them, referring to the Jewish people. Me'adirim, from the mighty ones, Elu Mitzrim. This is punishing from the Egyptians. So like the pasuk says in Shemais, Tzalu kaferes b'mayim, that they sank like lead in the water. Who were the adirim? It was the mighty ones, meaning the Egyptians. Be'adirim, and punish them in the might, Elu Mayim, this refers to water, like it was by the Yam. So Shemais, it says the pasuk in Tehillim, Mikoylois mayim rabim, from the noise of the multitude of the waters, adirim mishbe'yam, the mighty waves of the sea. So in other words, this line that he was saying was HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying this when he took revenge on the Egyptians, like it says that Salu Kafers B'mayim, who were the Mitzrim, that they were Adirim. This is the line that Hashem, which was let the mighty one Hashem come and take revenge because of his mighty ones, the Jewish people, from the mighty ones, the Egyptians, in the might, which is the mighty waters. So it says a similar line. Yava Yadid, let the beloved come. Ben Yadid, the son of the beloved. V'yivna Yadid, and then build the beloved. Li Yadid, for the beloved. B'chelka Shel Yadid, in the portion of the beloved. V'yiskapa B'yadidim, and let the beloved get an atonement. What does this mean? So Yavi Yadid, let the beloved come. Zeh Shleimah Melch. This refers to King Shleimah. The Chassidic says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, V'yishlach, Hashem sent, B'yad Nosna Navi, in the hand of his prophet Nosan. V'yikru Shemai, and he called the name of Shleimah, Yadidya, which literally means to say the beloved of God, Bavar Hashem, because of the love that Hashem had for Shleimah Melech. So you see, the Shleimah is called the beloved. And as you continue to Tamid Beis, so let the beloved come, who is Ben Yadid, the son of the beloved. Who's that referring to? That is the descendant of Zavram, the first Avram Avinu. That's like it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Mal Yadid Bebeisi, what is my beloved doing in my house? Which, as the Gemara later on is going to explain, that's referring to Avram Avinu. The Yivni Yadid, and let him build the beloved, Zav Beis HaMikdash, this refers to Shleimah Melech building the Beis HaMikdash. That's like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Ma Yadid is Mishkan Esech, how beloved is your dwelling place, Hashem, which is the Beis HaMikdash. And let him build this, Leah did. For the beloved, Zakadosh Baruch Hu. This is to make an abode for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That's like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ashiru no liyadidi. I'm going to sing now to my beloved, referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And where should he build it? Bechelke shielded, in the portion of the beloved, Zeh Binyamin. This refers to the portion of the tribe of Binyamin, which is where the Beis HaMikdash was built. Shemak says the pasuk in Devarim, Le Binyamin Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave the blessings to all the different tribes, to the tribe of Binyamin, he said, Yadid Hashem, the beloved of Hashem, Yishkan Levetach Alav, will dwell with confidence on him. And there in the Beis HaMikdash, which will be the atonement for the beloved, Eli Yisrael, this refers to the atonement that will be for the Jewish people. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, that Hashem says, Nesati es yedidus nafshi, I gave over the beloved of my soul, meaning referring to the Jewish people, b'kav oyveihu, in the palm of its enemies. So we see that the Jewish people are called Yedid. A similar type of a line. Yavai taiv, let the good come, the kabal taiv, and receive good, mi taiv, from the good, let taivim, for the good. What does this mean? Yavei Taiv, let the good come, Zeh Moshe, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu coming. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Shemais, Vateru Isaac Kitaivu, that his mother saw when he was born that he was good. Bikabel Taiv, let him come and receive the good. Zu Taiv, this refers to his receiving the Taiv. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Mishlei, Ki Lekech Taiv Nesad Lechem, because a good portion I have given you. And where is he going to get and collect this good from? Mi Taiv, from the good, Zakadosh Baruch Hu, which refers to Zakadosh Baruch Hu. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Tehillim, Taiv Hashem Lekel, Hashem is good to all. And for whom should he receive this Taira from Hashem, L'taivim, for the good, El Yisrael, this means for the Jewish people. The pasuk in Tehillim, Hetiva Hashem, Hashem do good, L'taivim, for the good, who's that? That refers to the Jewish people. A similar line, Yavai Zeh, let this one come, the Kabbal Zeh, and receive this, Mi Zeh, from this, La'amzu, for this nation. What does this mean? Yavai Zeh, let this one come, Zeh Moshe, first Zeh Moshe Benu. That's like it says the pasuk in Shemais, Ki Zeh Moshe Ish, because this is the man Moshe, so we see he was called Zeh. The Kabbal Zeh, and let him receive this, Zuhatayr, this refers to the Torah. The Chassidic says the pasuk in Devarim, V'zayis haTorah shesam Moshe. This is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu placed. We see it's called Zayis. And where should he receive the Torah? Mizeh. Who's this? From this? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This says the pasuk in Shemais, Zeh Kelev HaMeyu. This is our God, and we will glorify him. That refers to getting it, the Torah from Hashem. La'amzu, for this people, Eli Yisrael, this refers to the Jewish people. Shemek says the pasuk in Shemais, Amzu Kanisa, this nation you have acquired. Now going back to a pasuk that we mentioned in the previous Gemara's discussion, Amar Bitzchak, he says, B'shash achar Beis HaMikdash, at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Matzar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, Kadosh Baruch Hu encountered Avram, Shoyi Oymed Beis HaMikdash, that he was standing in the temple in the Beis HaMikdash. So Maloi, and this is the pasuk we mentioned before, so Hashem said to him, Mali Didi Bevesi, what's my beloved doing in my house? So Maloi, so and this is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which we're saying all these words from. So Maloi, so he said to him, Al Iske Bane Basi. And the words that are spoken in that pasuk is Hashem to Avram Avinu, but one could understand that there are Avram Avinu's responses to Hashem. So he says, I'm coming because of the issue of my children. So Maloi, so Hashem said to him, as the pasuk says, Banecha, and this part of the is not mentioned in the pasuk, Banecha chatu b'galu, your sons sinned and they were exiled. So Maloi, so Avram Avinu said to Hashem, Shema b'shege chatu, maybe they sinned by mistake. So Maloi, so he said to him, as the pasuk that continues in Yirmiyah, no, asaisa hamazimasa, they did their plot, meaning all their activities were deliberate and plotted, it wasn't by mistake. So Maloi, so Avram Avinu said to him, Shema miyudin chatu, maybe only minority of them sinned. So Amalai, so Hashem said to him, as the pasuk that continues, no, harabim, the multitudes. But still Avram Avinu said, Hayilcha Lizka Bris Mili, should have remembered the covenant of the circumcision. So Amalai, so Hashem said to him, as the pasuk that continues, Uvesar Kodesh Yavim Malacha, that the holy flesh, they remove from you, meaning they remove from them the circumcision. So Amalai, so Avram Avinu said to him, Shema Imim Tantalahem, maybe if you had waited for them, Hayilchaiz Mitshuva, they would have repented in repentance, and now they're gone, now you already exiled them. Amalai, so Hashem said to him, as the pasuk there concludes, Kibra asaychi, because you're evil, az talaizi, then you rejoice, meaning, at the time of their rejoicing, they actually got even more wicked. And to the contrary, if I would have given them more time, they would have became even more evil. So miyad heniach yadav al reishai, so immediately, Avram Avinu put his hands on his head, lo yitzayka boicha, he was screaming and crying, v'amalai, and he said to Hashem, shemachas v'shal, maybe God forsake, ein lem takana, that there's no rectification, there's nothing to do anymore for them. So Yatza Baskal Vamarlay, a heavenly voice came out and said to him, as the next pasuk says, Zayis Ranan, the leafy olive tree, Yefei Pri Tayer, the beautiful fruits of form, Kara Hashem Shmeich, Hashem has called your name, meaning called you a Zayis Ranan. What is that teaching? Ma Zayis, just like this olive tree, Acharisai Besayfai, its end, its salvation is at the end, meaning, because when one plants an olive tree now, he doesn't see fruits till a long time later. And at the end, then it has a lot of produce. Or another interpretation is, even when the produce comes out, it doesn't ripen little by little as it is by other trees. Rather, only at the end, they all ripen together. And so to the Jewish people, their salvation is at the end. And Yemoisa Mashiach, that's when there's going to be salvation for the Jewish people. It's not that there's no takana, it's just it's going to come at the end of the exile. Now, so too, the pasuk there continues later on. It says, L'koil ha'mula g'dayla, to the voice of the great tumult, hits his esh alau when the fire was burning on it, v'ro dalilaysav, and that its branches were broken. And this is going on the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as we explained the previous pasuk. So Amr b'chinna bar Papa, he says, what is this referring to? What does it mean, l'koil ha'mula g'dayla? It means l'koil milein shemaragel, means because of the voice of the words of the spies in the Midbar, which, as we know, that caused when the Jewish people cried then, which was by the 9th of Av, so that caused the same thing for future generations of the Churban of the 9th of Av. Nisra Oho Dolei Sein Sheli, so that's what broke the branch of the Jewish people. In other words, that's when they lost their might because of the words of the Meragel. The Amar Reb Chinna Bar Papa, because we find, like Reb Chinna Bar Papa said, that it's not just that they spoke slander about the land of Israel and that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But rather, Dava Godl Dibber Meraglim Baisa, there was something very great and negative that the spies had said at that time. Because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Ki Chazakum Mimenu. They were saying that the inhabitants of Canaan were stronger than us. But on that says, Rav Chinna Bar Papa, Atikri Mimenu, don't read it from us, Ela Mimenu, from him. Kviyachal, so to say, Shafila Bala Bayis, that even the homeowner, meaning referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Einu Yochal Lohitzi Kelim Hashem, he can't take his vessels out of there. In other words, there's no way we're conquering them, even Chas HaShalom with Hashem. So because of that great sin of the Meraglim, that's the Koil HaMula G'dayla, because of that great, the great negative words that they had said, that's what caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, on this interpretation, Maskevla Rav Chiya Bar Chinna says, Hai L'Koil HaMula G'dayla, why does it say those words in the Pasuk? L'koil mila mibaylein. Shouldn't have said the word hamula. Should have said l'koil mila g'dayla, because of the great negative words. Ella rather said a different interpretation based on the theme we were saying before in the previous pasuk. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, koil chashamati, which is the word koil in the pasuk. I heard your voice. And even hamula could be hey and ches are interchangeable. V'chamalti aleim. And I have mercy on them. Which is, ani amarti, I said, yishtabdu ba'aba malchis. They should be enslaved in the four different kingdoms. Kol achas va'achas kisher arba malchis. Each one of them, according to the four different kingdoms of now. Meaning each one would be as much as all the four kingdoms together. Now, hashter, kol chodah v'chodah ma'ida pasuk la, but now, each one will be according to what was initially established for them. It's not going to be, each one's going to have their own time. It's not going to be the total of all of them, that each one's going to have that amount of time. It's going to be the different galus of Bavel, Paras, Madai, Yavan, each one is going to be independent of its own time and not the sum total of all of them. Or Be'ikadami, then those that say, Ani amarti b'zeh achar zeh. Hashem says that I initially said there's going to be four different measurements consecutive. Achshav b'vasach is now it's going to be at the same time where that's in one measurement because it's actually happening at the same time. It's just that the Jewish people are dispersed throughout the entire world where some are in Babylon, some at the same time are in Greece, some are in Persia, and some are Bayadim, which is in the West. But it's all happening at the same time, so therefore Hashem was promising him that it's going to be shorter than the Churban, the Galus, is going to be shorter than what would have been because of the Jewish people's sins. Now, continuing this theme of the pasuk we brought before, of Zayis Ranan, Amri B'Shuma Levi says, Lomanim Shul Yisrael L'Zayis. Why are the Jewish people compared to an olive tree? So it says, Lemcha, to tell you, Ma Zayis ain't olive nation, just like the olive tree, the leaves do not fall off. Lebe Meisach Hamav, Lebe Meisach Shom, not in the summer months, not in the winter months. Af Yisrael, to the Jewish people, Ein Lemetei Loi Lomas, they're never going to be gone, Lebe Oil Mazev, Lebe Mabo, not in this world, not in the world to come. So to Rav Yechon, he says, Lomanim Shul Yisrael L'Zayis, why are the Jewish people compared to an olive? To tell you, ma zayis, just like an olive. The oil only comes out when it's squashed, when it's pressed. So the Jewish people only come back to good, only through affliction, just like the pressing of the olive is to get the oil out, so the Jewish people get pressed, and that's what brings out their great oil. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, as we said, that although, as the title of this parak says, kol menachas bayis matzah, all menachas are brought unleavened, there are two exceptions. There's the lach metayda and there's the shtei lechem and shvuos. Now, however, there was a machlekes in the Mishnah regarding how do we make them leavened. And the problem for that is because one cannot add on to the measurement of an isar and the flour that they're supposed to be. So generally, you would just take from outside and bring in. Problem with that is you would be adding on. So what do you do? So Remeir, he said, Hasa'ur b'yda lehen mitaychen u'machmitzen m'chulu. What you do is you make leaven inside the isarin itself. I mean, you take a little of the flour that's in the measurement of the isarin of the tenth of the ephah, you knead it a little bit, you put it back in deep into the isarin of the flour, and then it's going to ferment, and then ferment all that what's around it when it's kneaded together. Now, Rabbi Huda disagreed, and he says, no, that's not so ideal, because that's not really going to ferment so well there in the isarin itself. It doesn't become a real bona fide sourdough. So rather, what he says is you first take general bona fide sourdough, you put it into the measurement, and then you add flour onto that, and then that will be a total of isarin. But they didn't like it, what Rabbi Huda was saying, because then at times you might have less than isarin or more. As the Gemara explains, my chisera or yisera, what is it, when would it be that you can have too little or too much? So Rav Chizki explains, isas hasa'ar ava, if the dough of the sourdough is thick, meaning that it's kneaded with very little water, so nimsis yisera, midas yisarin, it's going to come out that it's very dense, that it has little volume, and when you're going to add up to the measurement of this vessel that has the isar in the flour, you're actually going to have more than the isar in the flour because the dense sourdough, which according to Behuda was put in first, is going to make more flour than what it normally is. But if it's raka, if actually the sourdough is actually wet and soft, then nimtzis chiser comes out that you're going to have actually less because that actually has a lot of volume. It's going to take up more space than what flour would have been, and you're not going to have any isar in the flour. Now, however, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but saif, at the end, kiko kail, when the person is measuring up the full measuring vessel of the isarin kakail, it's coming out to be in the isarin, who cares at what it would have been, had it been flour, if it would have been more or less? Who cares? Right now, when you're measuring up the measuring vessel of an isarin, it's not flour. It has some dough inside, it has some sourdough. So, but it's going to be in the isarin, so who cares what it would have been? So Rabbi Rav Yisuf, they both say, no, because l'kamais shehein haisa, what it would have been, meaning when it was flour, that's actually, Mr. Rina, that's how we evaluate. The isarin in the Torah is not just filling up this vessel of isarin, it has to be isarin of flour. And therefore, if you're going to have the sourdough, it might be more or less than what it would have been the flour, and therefore, that's why they disagree with Rabbi Huda. However, the Gemara now asks, both according to Rameir's interpretation and Rabbi Huda's interpretation, according to Rameir, why does he say what he said, what you do is that you take some of the flour that's in the Yisarin, you make it a little wet, you knead it, you put it back in, and let it ferment inside the rest of the flour that's inside of it. Which, like Rabbi Hudad said, it's not so ideal because it's not really going to become so chametzdik, and it has to be chametz. And according to Rabbi Huda, why does he say that you bring sa'ar from your house, which we said that the other Tanoim had a problem with that, because then you might have too little or too much, as we just explained in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, why don't we have just a very simple idea? V'lishkol purtiminei, take, look, measure up, have exactly a nisarin of flour. Fill up the vessel with a nisarin. After that you measure that you have a nisarin of fine flour, then take a little bit of that flour, v'lachamtzi mavrai, go ahead and leaven it somewhere else, in a warm, hot place, which is where things ferment, or conceal it in already a fermented dough until it becomes bona fide fermented, and then go, and go ahead now and take the rest of the flour and knead it with it, with the rest, and it's going to make bona fide chametz, as sourdough usually does, with the rest of the flour. Why was that option not mentioned, which seems to be flawless and has no problems that Remeir and Rida's interpretation have? Says the Gemara, Gezeira, because that's a rabbinic concern. Dilma asi le'isturi ma'alma. That if we're going to permit you to do this option of fermenting it somewhere on the outside, and which takes a whole process of fermentation, and then later on you're going to bring it back over here with the rest of the flour, whoever sees that you're bringing somewhere from the outside some dough, it looks like you're just bringing some sourdough from your freezer, and you bring it over here, and it's not right now that you're measuring it up with the isaran, is going to think that you're adding on, that you have the regular Yisarin over there, and you're adding on and bringing some sourdough from somewhere else. And that individual might go and do the same thing and bring Sa'ar from somewhere else besides the Yisarin, which would be problematic, because then you would have more than what you're allowed to have in the Yisarin. That's what Contra Meir, he says, what you do right here, so that whoever's watching sees that it's being done over here. Whereas the Contra Behuda, he says, oh, so no, you'll bring it and put it in the first thing, and will also the person will notice that it's not that you're adding on somewhere else on the Yisarin, because this is put in first before the rest of the flour, and we'll see that this is that Yisarin, and that's why this option, which seems to be the best idea, wasn't mentioned, because there had been a concern that someone might think that you're just bringing some sourdough besides the Yisarin, and it's going to be more than the measurement of Yisarin that's allowed. And there's another interpretation of Rashi in this Gemara, but as the Mefarshim explained, there seems to be a different girsa in that second interpretation than what would be the words in the Gemara.